everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show. Tom, I think this is what we call Chamber of Commerce weather. We're having a beautiful spring day, April day here in Tucson today.
I've noticed that my allergies are not as bad today, so I'm grateful for that.
Well, you know why. We were talking about that.
Not as much wind.
Not as much wind kicking up all that dust. And as Dr. Mazes from the Center for Integrative Medicine, the Weill Center, talked about allergies yesterday, so many people are sensitive this time of year. And we've got the Palo Verde trees coming up, which many are sensitive to. They look beautiful, but if you're allergic, well, it's a different story.
Those are the trees that put all of that stuff all over your car if you park under them.
Yeah, and I would not like to park. I don't try to park anywhere near them. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are at April the 20th already. Today, a Thursday, our 13th year with our radio project. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, part of the growing portfolio of the Bustos Media Company. This is now, let's see, we've got five radio stations under one roof here in Tucson, soon to be under one roof, an additional station coming on. All right, worldwide live listening on our website, buckmastershow.com, our live line for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will Humble is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. His 30 years in public health included more than two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including the agency director from 2009 to 2015. Let's go now on the live line up to the Valley of the Sun. Will, how are you?
Good afternoon. Doing great. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. How was that trip to Colombia and Panama? No, not Panama. Paraguay in South America.
Paraguay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fabulous. You know, we've had exchange students over the years that live in our house, and one of our exchange students from 10 years ago, his name's Diego. He's been back in Paraguay now for 8 or 9 years, and we wanted to go down and see him. So what was so great about the trip is, you know, when you have a local that can help you find all the, you know, the great places and that can drive you around, and you can meet their family, it really makes a much better travel experience. It was really fun.
Yeah, and you were in Cartagena, Colombia, which I see was just voted one of the 20 most beautiful cities in the world. They were pointing out the old section, the colonial architecture is just amazing, I guess, in Cartagena. I'm sure you consumed a lot of that those wonderful sites.
Oh, yeah. We had a little tiny converted house that's now a sort of a guest house in that old quarter, you know, really narrow streets and cobblestones. And it's like sometimes you feel like you're 150, 250 years ago.
Well, let me ask you, when you were traveling, any COVID prevention? Did you see many people wearing masks? What was the travel experience like from a health point of view?
The main thing, it's not COVID that I was concerned about. There's a viral disease called chikungunya, which is having a field day down in Paraguay right now. It's transmitted by mosquitoes. It's similar to dengue fever, right now Paraguay's in the sort of the global epicenter. They're just ending their summer, so they're finishing their mosquito season. So we used bug spray and wore long sleeves, and quite honestly, I didn't even see that many mosquitoes. That was the main thing we were concerned about rather than COVID, is that mosquito disease.
You know, I was looking at the weekly numbers now that are put out from the Arizona Department of Health. Pima County really by far leads all Arizona counties in inoculations, shots for COVID. I think we're in the mid-80s, 84, 85%. You look at some of these counties, Will Humble, it's like 40 to 50%.
Yeah, like Mojave County's always been the lowest. Santa Cruz and Pima have been the stars throughout this whole pandemic, you know, for vaccination rates. And Mojave's always been the lowest. Yavapai, too. A lot of factors go into that, but politics is a big part of it.
Yeah, and there was a new report placing Arizona number one in the United States for the rate of COVID-19 deaths. That came out in the Medical Science Journal of The Lancet.
Yeah, that was published a couple of weeks ago. And the interesting thing about that study is they took into account the pre-existing conditions in each state and the age distribution of each state and did some statistical adjustments to sort of level the playing field. So take, for example, a state like Utah, which is pretty young and pretty healthy. You compare that to a state like West Virginia, which is older and pretty unhealthy. So what they did is they said, look, we're going to take into consideration those factors that put people at particular risk for dying from COVID. And then we're going to do the analysis to sort of tease that piece out to try to get at the policy decisions that elected officials made. And you look at that standardized rate. And whether you look at the standardized rate, which adjusts for pre-existing conditions and age, or whether you just look at the crude death rate, Arizona was the worst in the country in both categories.
Not good news. For folks over 65, they'll be able to take another booster. That was approved this week by the federal government. I guess those boosters will be available as soon as the pharmacies can get the new booster in. And I have a question for you, Will. Is this a newly formulated booster, or is it the one that many of us took in November and December of last year?
Yeah, this is the same bivalent booster. So what they're doing is discontinuing that vaccine that people got back in early 2021, the monovalent booster, and they're just going to that bivalent booster. So there's not a new vaccine that's out there, new in the sense of in the last year, but what's new is the recommendations for the additional booster for seniors. But it's not a new formulation or anything.
And for people who haven't had any shots, they're saying just this shot might be an entry level for them.
Right. They're just discontinuing you. That original shot is a little long in the tooth now because this virus has, you know, evolved so much. And the bivalent booster, which includes the Omicron variant, is far better at, protecting people from bad health outcomes.
Let's talk a little bit about something that hasn't happened up at the state capitol in more than 40 years. State lawmakers will be they're going to try to undo a veto that Governor Hobbs had a veto to enact legislation to legalize the sale of home-cooked tamales and empanadas and some other products. So we're talking about some health food items here. What's your take on all of this, Will Humble?
So I'll give a quick history lesson. Back in 2011, so first of all, before 2011, you couldn't cook anything in your home and sell it anywhere. But in 2011, there was a bill at the state legislature that said, hey, look, you can bake things in your house like breads, jams, jellies, candies, dried fruit, things like that, and sell them at farmers markets and stuff. You have to label it. You have to say when it was made. You have to go to a food handlers class. You have to register with the state. You have to put your registration certificate at the farmers market so people know. Everything has to be labeled. But beginning in 2011, you could start doing that. And your listeners have been to farmers markets that have probably seen the little cottage industry food registration certificates with the bread vendor and stuff like that. And that's been a huge success. I don't know of any foodborne illness outbreaks that have ever happened with the existing law. And it gives families an opportunity to make stuff you know, do stuff in the kitchen, get some extra income and help ends meet that way. What this bill does this year that the governor just vetoed is it expands the menu of items that you could cook in the home and sell at farmers markets and stuff like that. And so right now, as it exists right this second, you can't put like meat or chicken in the recipe. But if this bill, if the legislature overrides this veto, what people would be able to do is to include meat, chicken, things like that, as long as the source of the meat came out, you know, was inspected by USDA or FDA. And they use time and temperature controls. They have to label things. They have to, you know, say when it was made. They have to do the registration. They need to do the food handler's card. But it would be then legal for them to expand the kinds of things that they sell. And I think it's a good idea. Hey, I mean, let's face it. It happens in Tucson. It happens up here. You could go to a lot of parking lots in both all over the state, and there you'll find people selling empanadas and, you know, burritos and home-baked tamales, especially tamales, you know, out of the trunk of cars or buckets and things like that. They're not labeled, and it's full disclosure. People know it's made in a home kitchen. They buy it anyway. I like this law because it would bring them out of the shadows, put some expectations about labeling, build some regulations around those kinds of foods, and at the same time, give folks an opportunity to make a little bit of extra income and not just have to sell breads and jams and jellies, but other tasty stuff like tamales and that kind of thing too. So I hope they override the veto. We'll see on Tuesday. That's when it's going in front of the House and Senate.
Okay, so you stand with those that would like to overturn this. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep, I'm about to put up a blog post in about an hour. I had to stop my editing so I could do the show, but I'm going to have a blog post up later on today.
And again, where can we find your blog, Will Humble?
It's azpha.org. Stands for the Arizona Public Health Association. The blog is on the homepage called Will's Blog.
All right, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in the Tucson area. Home of the Danish Kringle, open right now for a beautiful lunch at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Of course, they're known for their beautiful signature pastries and breakfast. The doors open at 6:30. Tuesday through Saturday, they open at 7 o'clock on Sunday, and I'm usually popping in there Sunday morning looking for lately some kind of an almond or chocolate croissant. I will go if they're not available, already sold out, I will go for the plain butter croissant, and it's just delicious with some strawberry jam. Getting hungry for it right now. I could go for something like that. MonasDanishBakery.com is their website. We'll have more with Will Humble. He is our contributor on public health here on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back with Will. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, their location, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business for the beautiful merchandise, most of it handcrafted in Mexico and some European items as well. At Zocalo Village, zocalovillage.com. Green Things open daily in their 53rd year of business. Also want to tell you about another great sponsor, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're into blues, this Memorial Weekend coming up, this will be the event, is Saturday the 27th of May. Enjoy music, dancing, food, and more. National performers taking the stage for the Silver City Blues Festival. Here's some good news. It is a free blues festival with some great performers. Silver City, only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will Humble is our contributor on public health. Will's one of two dozen folks who contribute regularly to this program, and we're just honored and delighted to have such a great group of people. Will's the former director for the Arizona Department of Health, and he now is head of, well, he's the official title, Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association. The Supreme Court, Will, has delayed a decision on that abortion pill, the pill preserving access for now anyway. Lots of confusion around this. Could you kind of bring it home to Arizona for us, please?
Yeah, there's two rulings by different federal judges that are at the district court level that are in direct conflict with each other. The first judge that probably most people have heard about is the ruling in Texas, the Amarillo District Center, where the judge ruled that the FDA appropriately approved mifepristone drug back in 2000, and it was a 100-page ruling, which I read the whole thing. It's not just one thing that he has grievances about. There's a number of things, and he ordered that the FDA go back to basically 1999 and to not approve and basically undid the approval of that medication, mifeprex. A separate Federal Circuit judge up in Washington, the exact opposite, that despite the Texas ruling that the drug should remain available and approved by the FDA. So now I have these two judges in different parts of the country at the federal level in direct conflict with each other. And so, you know, the way our system is set up, that has to, this can't stay like this. You can't have two judges saying two totally different things. No one knows what to do. FDA is like, well, what do we do? So this is going to have to be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think it's going to have to get decided quick. This is the kind of thing where they're going to have to make an expedited decision, because there's just too much confusion and too much at stake in terms of uncertainty for the agency, for providers, for, you know, pregnant persons who want that kind of care. So Friday, originally the U.S. Supreme Court stayed the Texas ruling until Wednesday, which is today. No, today's Thursday already.
Yeah.
And they extended it to Friday. So I think you're going to have another statement by the U.S. Supreme Court by tomorrow to make some sort of decision to either stay the Texas ruling or go with the Washington ruling or something else. But you can't have this level of confliction continue for much longer.
Also in my stack of public health stuff and red light cameras, believe it or not, they are, it's part of the public health scene because many believe they save lives. Does the evidence now say that red light cameras do save lives, Will Humble?
Red light cameras save lives. Photo radar on speed cameras, that is a little dicey. There's not much evidence to suggest that photo radar saves lives, but photo red lights do. And in particular, they prevent the kind of violent T-bone type of crashes that can sometimes happen in busy intersections. So when you put up a red light camera in the right way at the right intersection, it doesn't necessarily reduce the number of crashes. It only reduces the number of crashes by 7%, but it reduces the number of crashes with severe injuries by 68%.
Wow.
So what these red light cameras can sometimes do is actually increase the slow speed rear enders in those intersections when someone slams on the brakes because they don't want to get the photo red light ticket. And someone comes in behind them, those seldom result in injuries, but it prevents most of the big violent T-bone crashes. And there's a bill, I think the reason you brought that up is there's a bill that is rounding the bend and about to get approved down at the state legislature that would prohibit any jurisdiction from using photo enforcement of any kind in Arizona, be it photo radar or photo red light. I myself am definitely in favor of photo red light. I'm not a big fan of photo radar because there's two different evidence bases there. And from what I understand, Tucson has an ordinance, don't
yeah.
you? That
yeah, we
there
do.
Is
we,
no red light. There's
no, we did do away with the red lights. Very controversial here, but we've had Chief Kazmar, the police chief, on, and he liked the red lights. He did. You know, he's echoed pretty much what you've been saying about the studies, the evidence showing that, yes, red light cameras save lives. But again, there's a big difference between what we're talking about here with the red light cameras and then photo enforcement. So it's a big difference.
Right. That's a different thing. Photo radar, photo speed, by and large, I'll just be honest, that's built for revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a revenue generating things in certain towns like Paradise Valley and stuff. Those don't save lives. It makes people sitting on the mountain happier because they don't hear the tires as they sit on their porch and drink Chardonnay, you know. But
hey, Will, before we say goodbye for this month, what's this ballot referral? In other words, voters may be voting on something that could dismantle Arizona's EMS system, the emergency management system. Can you give us the quick overview here on that?
Yeah, real quick. The legislature can refer ballot measures directly to the voters without the governor's signature. And they're called ballot referendums. And there's a proposal down at the legislature that's circulating that would stop all emergencies orders. These not just public health emergencies like fire, wildfire emergencies, flood emergencies and stuff. Those would stop at 30 days. And then the legislature would, so the governor can declare it for 30 days. Then the legislature would have to extend that emergency, you know, 30-day increments. And where that's damaging, in my opinion, is when you have, let's say, a wildfire emergency, and the fire might be over in 30 days. And you might think, well, the emergency should end. Well, the recovery phase of the emergency sometimes can take a few months. Think of, you know, roads that need to get rebuilt. Sure. And you need an emergency declaration to use that money. So I think it would be harmful, not for the main event, but for the recovery phase.
All right, Will Humble, thank you very much, Will. Always a pleasure. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next month.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. All right. Take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Thursday, our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Inc. It's coming up right after this break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's time for the CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America.
Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $3.2 billion, with 195 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us now in studio, Jeremy Sharp. Jeremy, a Tucson native who oversees operations of Sharp and Associates Incorporated, a second-generation family operation focused on the development and management of real estate investments and projects, including master plan communities, land development, commercial development management, and community management. Sharp and his team lead the development of Rancho Sahorita, award-winning 3,000-acre master plan community in Sahorita. Jeremy, good to see you again.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the footprint of Rancho Sahorita. When did it start? How have you grown over the years, Jeremy?
Thank you. So my late father acquired the land that would become Rancho Sahorita in the early 1990s and started the planning process with the dream of creating a community where thousands of families would one day call home. We're located about 20 minutes south of Tucson, about 20 minutes from DM and the main job corridor. And so for us, we look at our positioning within the market as a community where families can enjoy a quality of life and live an experience with their children and great education and great amenities.
When your father was looking at this particular land, and he's left us now, but I'm sure he told stories to you as you were growing up into the family about how it all came to be. And that I'm interested in, what was he looking for? Why did he think this is the right place?
You know, my dad was a land speculator. So okay. He would buy and sell land, and he was an entrepreneur and a visionary. And so he would see decades out and envision what would be there. Rancho Sahorita was a piece of the project, a larger project that he was a partner in. And through in the early 1990s, through in the crash with the RTC, he was able to acquire it. With really this dream of creating a town and this dream of bringing families into a community and giving that first-time home buyer, those young families, a lifestyle that they couldn't find anywhere else.
So he was looking for, he needed a lot of land for this,
he
right?
He did.
You know, and he was, like you say, he's a visionary. He could see, others might see, oh my gosh, that's just a raw piece of land. But he could see homes, he could see swimming pools, he could see families enjoying the particular lifestyle that's evolved. And when you think about it, it's from a historic point of view, it's not that many years ago that kind of the ground was broken on this project.
That's true. It really is. I mean, we broke ground in 2001, so it took about 7 years of planning. Mm-hmm. And since that time, we have 6,000 homes on the ground, about 18,000 people. And really, as I look back, and I have been in this business.
You kind of grew up in it,
I grew up in it. I was just going to tell the story you know, going out on site and finding old cars. And my dad used to say we're going exploring and going on adventures when really we were just looking at property. And, you know, I have a three-year-old son and 1-year-old daughter now, and I take my 3-year-old out on projects and, you know, and I just envision my dad standing there with me. And as you mentioned, he passed away 3 years ago, but those memories stick. And it's what I love about our business is that it's about people, it's about families, and it's creating the built environment where people call home was really my dad's dream, and it's what he loved and it's what he enjoyed. But it was an all-encompassing for our family and our team.
What makes a successful master plan community? And when we think of master plan communities, some of the early ones, of course, were pioneered by Del Webb and the Sun City product.
Yep.
So how did Rancho Sahorita evolved to be something different than that kind of a product?
Well, I think it's a combination of all those lessons learned from all the preceding plant communities. You know, my dad was an avid learner. I'm an avid learner, and our team is. And we go and visit master plant communities in cities across the country and saying, hey, what are the best practices? And can we take this idea here and this idea there and put it all together? So when you put all these individual parts together, it gives you a greater sum. But I think it all comes down to what the vision is and what the mission is. And we are, my entire team and my dad's original mission and ours, our why in essence, is to create a better life for people. And so within our lifestyle, we have 250 events a year. We have 40 free classes. We have nearly 30 miles of trails. We have 9 or 10 different parks and pools and a water park and a 24-hour gym. But all that creates a lifestyle. All that creates opportunities for our residents to connect and experience something different than what they maybe could find in the marketplace.
So it's interesting to think that your property was the centerpiece of really what has evolved today into a town, a Sahuarita. So how did all of that, how did the interplay with the city or the town, how did that happen?
You know, we recognized, my dad recognized right away the importance of being in, within a municipality. We have great relationships with the county, but understanding the, when you're a developer and understanding the need for that kind of that local control. And so in the early 1990s, he helped the residents incorporate a town. There were 2,000 residents, and he helped them incorporate a town. We have a water company, started a wastewater treatment facilities, worked with the town, and over the last three decades have worked with the municipality, worked with the town of Sarita on creating our, not only creating what has become Rancho Sarita, but also laying the groundwork and trying to be a good steward, a good example, and a good partner with the greater community. That includes education. We've given over 120 acres to the schools and continue to work with the superintendent and work with the town of Sarita on being good partners and working together, I think, on economic development, but also on just positioning the town of Sarita as a key player in this market.
Sarita then has how many residents? Approximately 40,000.
Yeah,
that
it sounds
correct?
About right.
And so your piece of this is about 3 out of the 4 residents, right? Is that about right?
Probably, almost, yeah.
So again, how does that work with like the municipality and the, you said that the fire and the police, everything is under one umbrella then, correct?
Yeah, yeah, we, you know, the town of Sarita, led by Mayor Tom Murphy.
Sure, we've had Tom on the program many times. We like him
very much.
And
the town
much.
Manager, Shane, you know, they are forward-thinking with their council and their staff. They're forward-thinking, and they want to grow not only the economy down there, but also invite residents to live. I mean, they understand their location. They understand their strategic location, both on I-19, location to different mining sectors, as well as downtown, is really being a high quality of life near major job sectors. And they're also, we're working together to bring those job sectors down to Sarita within the Sarita Town Center.
Are there job opportunities within the community itself?
Yeah, we're working, the town of Sarita just leased out its full SAMTEC project, which is an incubator space that was leased to, it's a light industrial technology space. We worked with them to get some land for that. It was a grant that was given. We are working with the town as well as the community and as well as other stakeholders like the Sun Corridor on ensuring that we can be at the table when new businesses either relocate or expand within the region.
You're on now on the board of directors, right, for Sun Corridor Inc. What kind of a role do you hope to play, and how important is an economic developer like Sun Corridor Inc. to this area?
I've been circling around Sun Corridor for a number of years. We've been been participants and engaged. We decided to invest more heavily in Sun Corridor for mainly two reasons. The first is as a Tucsonan, I believe in Southern Arizona, and as a developer, I believe in economic development, but more importantly, as a citizen, I believe in Southern Arizona. But to have a great community and have a great quality of life, we need the economic growth. And so I believe in investing in the greater economic engine, which Sun Corridor helps do. Secondly, while we might have over 100 or 1.5 million square feet of commercial opportunity, more importantly, we offer a quality of life in a community that is hard to find elsewhere. And so if we can be at the table as companies are relocating or expanding, and we can be at the table and showing the type of lifestyle their employees could have in Southern Arizona, we want to be there and help be a resource through that experience.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Jeremy Sharp is with us as part of our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. We'll talk more about Rancho Sahorita and some of the things going on down there. And what's the future of that town and that planned, very successful master planned community? Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're continuing now with our CEO interview series, our monthly series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. We're talking with Jeremy Sharp, who oversees Rancho Sahorita, and we're talking about what really makes a successful plan, a master plan community. Let's talk a little bit, Jeremy, about the product that you're offering down there. Of course, the centerpiece would be the single family home, right? So what else do you have?
That's correct. Yeah. Historically, we have about 6,000 homes that our builder partners have built over the last 20 years. Currently, we have five national home builders, including Syntex, Richmond, KB Homes, Meritage Homes, and Lennar, really selling out at 8 points of sale. We have over 50 floor plans, new home
really?
Floor plans.
Wow.
So, what we've really been able to create down there, and I think this is one of the benefits and the differences of a master plan community, is you can really go to one place and you're buying into the community per se, but you have such a vast choice when it comes to floor plans, types of home builders, you know, types of accessories within those homes, within our community, within the master plan itself. You know, we also have a strong resale market down there. So it's been an interesting, as our community has matured, master plan communities, you know, really grow over probably a 30 to 40 year period when you have this many homes. And so you have a variety of different housing types, a variety of different years that they were built in that way.
And how is that resale market in your area?
You know, the resale market is strong. I think it is supply, demand was high and supply was low. I think demand, because of where rates have been, as we probably all feel or read about, demand has waned a little bit on the resale side, but so is supply. People are happy in their homes and happy with their rates. But that being said, our home builders are seeing more demand and we see more demand on all of our marketing channels than what we've seen year over year. And every single month, it just increases on the interest. So the interest is there. And our builders are working hard to get those home buyers prospective home buyers into new houses.
So somebody could come down there and they take a look at what is being offered. You said 50 different floor plans. So that gives people really a variety, not only of what to choose for their home, but also price points, correct, Jeremy?
Correct. We have homes. We have new homes from the high 200s to the high 300s from 1,300 square feet to more than 3,500 square feet. Mm. So a wide variety of product. And buying new is a really interesting value proposition right now, because what home builders are able to do, what your average reseller can't, is they can buy down a rate, which means they can, in essence, get you a lower mortgage rate for the long term, or they can have closing incentives, and they can really incentivize and make it easier for home buyers to get into a home and get that family and give the keys away to a homeowner. And I think that is one of the benefits of why people are buying new right now, and why you're seeing the new home market continue to have a relatively strong spring selling season, which we were all hoping for.
So people are buying. Into the community, and these are people coming from all over the country, and they're people of all ages, correct?
Yeah. It's really interesting, to watch how our community has grown. And our average age still remains kind of in the mid-30s with the 2.5 kids and kind of that. But there's also a wide spectrum. We're a very intergenerational community. So we have a lot of 55-plus buyers who are moving to be closer to their grandkids or like the feel of the community. We have 55 plus communities within our larger master plan. But you're getting such a diverse group of home buyers coming in. We are seeing your traditional home buyer that's in our marketplace for that first time and move up buyer, which is that young family, the engineer at Raytheon or the airman at DM, who are coming here with our lifestyle and our that family experience really, really attracts them.
And they're buying, when they buy, they get the amenities, correct? Which is a huge driver for your community.
Correct. Yeah. I believe is what really separates us. We manage all of our own amenities. As I mentioned, we have 250 events a year, ranging from 100-person coffee socials to a 10,000-person movie, 10,000-person Halloween festival, to just coffee with a vet. Come at our Armed Forces Memorial, where you can come and just sit down and have coffee with a veteran and hear stories and talk and connect. And those experiences allow our residents to really create a better life. Everything we do is about building upon, and I would say everything we do is about creating a better life for our residents, but also creating connections for them, helping them to connect to one another, but also creating connections among neighbors and among friends in that sense.
So what's the future of your, I believe you said it was an original 3,000 acre footprint. Give us a feel of how much of that land can still be developed for homes and for businesses, correct?
Correct. We have about 1,500 lots left to develop within this current plan. In addition to that, you'll see multifamily, different apartment, multifamily apartments and different density of townhomes and so forth coming in as the single family builds out. But in addition to that, we have over 1.5 million square feet of commercial opportunity still available within our Sarita Town Center. That's anchored right now by a Fry's Marketplace, retail center. We have a Northwest Hospital down there, really anchoring one part of that. But really the town center was designed to develop organically. And it is a mixed-use town center. We have the town municipal complex within it. We have schools. We have churches. We have grocery stores and medical and residential. And really, that's how we envision it, where jobs, retail, restaurants, medical continue to evolve over the next decade within that town center.
And the retailers are looking for roofs, right? They want to know how many people, why it's going to make it, why would it be worth my while to invest, right?
That's right. That's right. And we are really past that inflection point. So we've been very patient. We've had some amazing business partners who've come in from Fry's to Panda Express to Banner Health to Pub 22, which is a El Charro brand, you know, as Long Realty and so many others who have come in and really ahead of what I would say is probably a little ahead and have done very well and have seen success. Because it's a captive market, but regardless, I believe we're at that rooftop. We are having a number of discussion with large businesses, as well as some smaller restaurants and other types of uses that I think our residents, not only our residents within Rancho Sarita and the town of Sarita, but overall the greater region, will really appreciate.
People move to an area they want number one good police and fire protection. I'm sure that's. Not only at the top of the list, but then there's good roads. How do you fit in those two areas or three areas?
So, you know, you might have to ask Tom or Mr. Mayor Murphy about this, but my perspective is the town of Sarita runs a community that is one I want to invest in. And I think that's as... You know, this is a Sun Corridor conversation, and it's a lot of it is about business and investing. Mm-hmm. But I continue to be proud to have property and be a business partner of the town of Sarita. Our roads are very different than other municipalities, I would say. Come drive around. It's a very different community than other municipalities and other areas
perhaps
around Tucson.
From the community we are originating from right now. But go ahead.
But I think, you know, people will move and attract to different areas. We have great landscaping that we help manage. But ultimately, it's one of the safest communities in Arizona, and I think we've been... You know, Mayor Murphy can address that, but it truly is a place that we believe is a small town. It's about partnership. And we know the police really well. We know the school district really well. It's about building that infrastructure that your kids can walk down the street and you can feel comfortable with that.
All right, Jeremy Sharp, good luck with Rancho Sarita. Hope things continue to go very well for you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, for more information about Sun Corridor, we suggest, hope you'll visit suncorridorinc.com for more information. On behalf of Jeremy Sharp and Tom, engineering and producing the program, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope everybody has a terrific afternoon.